Well, how many are thankful for this morning? If he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord again this morning, just to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? We certainly enjoyed the wedding yesterday, such a beautiful wedding. Noah and Naomi can be proud of such a beautiful wedding they had. And we're thankful this morning, though, to be back in the house of the Lord, looking forward to what the Lord has got in store for us. Thankful to have all of our visitors with us this morning. And we have two Brother Isaacs with us this morning. Bless you, Brother Isaac. Good to have you and Brother Joseph's family, Abby, Liz, good to have them this morning. Brother Jerry, I know he's somewhere at SV. Zach, good to have all of you this morning. Amen. Welcome. We have a couple requests we'll remember today. Brother Terry Tidwell was in an accident day before yesterday. I think he was trimming a hedge, and one of the clippers caught the edge of his finger and just about cut it off. But I think they were able to save it. And so we're thankful for that this morning. And so we remember him, and we want to also continue to remember Sister Vicki in our prayers. Brother Ron Spencer and Brother Daniel Gissendanner as well. And also a friend of Brother Sam's, Alan Herndon. I think he had fell and broke 7 ribs. So we remember him in our prayers today. Also, I think Sister Mary has an appointment tomorrow, so we remember her in our prayers as well. Brother John will give you more details on that in just a few minutes. Amen. So if you have something on your heart this morning, just make it known by an uplifted hand. God sees our hearts, and he sees our needs this morning. Whatever it may be, God is mindful today. Amen. Brother George, come this morning, lead us in prayer.
How many of you are happy to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. I had a tough week this week. And every day I'd get up and I was just thinking, my goodness, Sunday's coming. Amen. Sunday's here now, saints. Amen. It's time to worship the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just join together this morning to bring these requests to you, Father. Lord God, our brother Terry and Sister Vicki, Lord, brother Daniel, Brother Ron Spencer, what a servant to you. Lord, we just lift up these requests, the spoken and the unspoken. Lord God, it is our privilege to bring them to your throne this morning, Lord. Lord, and we're a blessed people, Lord, because we're serving a living God today. And a risen Savior, Lord, that's concerned with the affairs of his children. That's concerned with our needs, that it has a heart to bless us. And Father, we're thankful for that today, Lord. We ask for your blessings upon these requests today, Father. Lord, we ask for your blessings on this service today, Father. Lord, these musicians, Brother Mark, Lord, Brother Jonathan, as he brings the Sunday school and missionary reports. Lord God, we just ask that your hand will be upon it all, Lord. We'd be anointed today, Lord, to receive of you, Father. Bless Brother George this morning as he ministers to us, Father. We pray that you would just sink it into our hearts, Lord. And we want to remember the newlyweds, Lord, and just be with them, Father. Bless their union, we pray, and be with them in their marriage, Lord God, and keep them safe as they're away and bring us all back together again, we pray. And Lord, we just want to remember Pastor and his family today, Lord. Rest them up, Lord. Lord, give them rest in their bodies, Father. Lord, and in their spirit, renew them, Lord God. And just, Lord, fill them back up. Recharge them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that they might do your work, Father, we pray. And Lord God, we just ask that today be a special day, Lord. A day that we'd all remember, Father. Not because we've seen man, Lord, but because you came and dwelt with us today, Father. And we'll give you the praise and the honor in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the bride said, amen and amen, Brother Jonathan. Amen.
Amen. You happy to be at church this morning? Amen. You can have your seats just a moment. We'll cover a couple of reports here. How many loves him this morning? How many knows that without him we would be? worship this morning. You're going to give your all for him this morning. You're going to put everything aside in your mind. And you're going to say, this morning I'm going to worship my King. I'm going to worship my Savior, Brother Mark.
Feels so good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, don't it? Amen. I heard y'all say amen that you're going to worship this morning. Let's hear you. Back that up this morning, okay? Well, this world is not my home. I am just a passing through. And my treasures are laid up somewhere. In this world anymore. Amen. I'm packing up and getting ready to go. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this. Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through my dark testify this morning that God is good all the time. In the good times, in the bad times, every time God is good this morning. Praise the Lord. I told you I couldn't get away from this song, so we're going to sing it again this morning. Amen. Well, I love you, Lord. How many can say that? For your mercy never fails me all of my days. I've been held in your hands. Yes, I have. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, all of my life you have been faithful. Sing with me. I love your voice. Yes. For you have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a in the goodness of God.
Oh, help me sing.
Oh, because all of my life you have been faithful.
Oh, you ought to be able to sing that.
Yes, all of my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I held, I will sing. Praise the Lord. That is my testimony. With all of my breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I'll give Him all the glory and all the praise. All the worship that I'm able to utter from my lips. It belongs to God this morning. Amen. We'll let you have your seats. And we'll have our ushers to come this morning and receive the morning offering you just given to the Lord. And He'll bless you for that. I think Brother Sam Franklin celebrated his birthday yesterday, so we just want to wish him a very special happy birthday today. May the Lord just be with him. Just to sing this chorus, oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing. Don't you love Him this morning? And thank Him for His amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And I thank Him that He knew my name before the foundation of the world. And He wrote it on the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm just so thankful for that. Amen. We had a special request for a song this morning. We haven't sang it in quite some time. And I don't even know if we'd be able to do it, but we're going to try anyhow. And we have a third part missing, but Brother Matt's going to join us, and he feels that so well. So we're going to try to sing for you today. I could see the white in your eyes from back up here, Brother Matt. But you'll see what I mean. He knows where he's going.
Yes, He knows my name. So how he talks with me. And oh, how he tells me that I am his own.
You know my name.
this morning. He knows your name. Brother Pat, he knows your name. He knows your name, Brother George. He knows our name. I'm so thankful. Just imagine the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth and all the things that are in our, he knows my name. That's just hard for a little human mind to comprehend. How much God loves his bride. I'm just so glad that I can say I'm one of them this morning, aren't you? Yeah. Amen. Let's stand one more time, if you will, as we invite our pastor to introduce our brother this morning, Brother George. We're so, so happy to have our brother with us this morning. Feels like it's been years since he's been here. Amen.
Morning to you. Hallelujah. Isn't that the desires of our hearts today? Oh, just to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a blessed thing it is to be in the presence of the Bride of Christ. The ones that we will spend eternity with. When we're looking at each other in the eyes, we're looking at eternity in the eyes. What a blessing and a sweet atmosphere here. Well, I tell you, yesterday the wedding was so clean, so pure, so divine, so royal. In the years I've been serving the Lord and been in the company of a large gathering, I don't believe I've ever witnessed such a manifestation of perfect love as I did yesterday. There's such a divine presence that swept into that place in several accounts. I thought we would take a rapture in a wedding. Praise God. It would have been a good way to go home, wouldn't it? I'm not sure if Naomi and Noah would have been happy. But anyways, it was divine. It was divine. It certainly was. And we thank the Lord for your presence and the presence of the Lord. I tell you, nothing was just formal. It was just so precious. And the presence of the Lord came down so strong, it just melted away all fears and doubts and barriers and denominations and every little ill feelings and everything was just melted away in the presence of the Lord. Did you notice that? Such an outpouring of divine love in our midst. First time I witnessed it, it was powerful. So I thank God for that. This morning. You know, I believe our Lord is coming soon. I believe the bride is getting ready to be transformed out of this dimension And I'm looking so forward to that time. We used to sing an old song many, many years ago. As our trustees come this morning, this is the tithes, the first fruits you give to the Lord, and God will bless you for doing so. And those of you online, you can also do your tithing and your missions and offerings online as well through the PayPal account. But the song goes like this: soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. There's only one the King. There's only one the King. Hallelujah. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said a couple of Sundays back, the saints in heaven know where to put the crown, but the saints on earth don't. But we're putting the crown on the King's head soon and very soon. Put your hands together. Let's sing it. This old song.
Well, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Yes, soon.
Name. Well, we have a motto around here. We just don't sit around and rust out. We would rather wear out. So the next event will be our fall festival, October 22nd. Sisters and brothers, kick it in the high gear. We're going for it by the grace of God. We'll get the committee together. We'll be planning that by God's grace. A grand time. We invite all of you to come out on the 22nd. We'll have a nice fall harvest. It is Bible. Amen. It is Bible. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for that. So very happy to have my family here this morning with us. Brother Jerry and Sister Espy and Zachary, Abigail and Elizabeth. We'll welcome you. God bless you today. What a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord, to know that our Lord Jesus Christ, He's here with us this morning. To do the exceeding and abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Hallelujah. It's residing in you, church. You just speak that word and go forward. I believe, therefore I speak. God bless you. At the close of the service today, we will be lifting a special missions offering for Venezuela, as we're so very honored and privileged to have with us this morning Brother George Smith, who will be bringing the word today to us. And we're looking to the Lord to see what He has in store for us. I know you will be blessed. You get a treat from the word of the Lord. To many of you that don't know it, Brother George Smith is actually Brother Branham's son-in-law. And we've been friends for many, many years. And wow, we're getting old together. Amen. Praise the Lord. I so love him. And So honored to have him here and be a part of Naomi and Noah's wedding yesterday. So let's put our hands together and give him a nice warm welcome as he comes. And do as the Lord pleases. God's servant, Brother George Smith.
Thank you. 1 hour or two?
2 hours is fine. I know you're not long-winded.
You're pretty safe that way. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here together. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Calvary. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings to us. And Father, we just pray that you would bless the word now. Feed each one what they need. We've come from different places, different circumstances, but we're here to worship you and to feed at the same table, out of the same book. Bless your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in Murfreesboro. According to my records, it's been a little over 4 years. And COVID was part of it, but, you know, God knows all things. And good to see each one of you, and some I haven't seen in a long time. And so I've got some Venezuelan friends back there. And it's not my fault that they don't speak English, okay? I told them when they first came here. So, but the message that you had playing earlier, Revelation chapter 4, that's a very special message. There's, I think, four in that series, parts 1 through 4. And then there's three parts to chapter 5. And we've taken those and put them into two books, chapter 4 and chapter 5. In Spanish, and they're printing them now in Colombia and in Chile and Honduras. So they're doing it locally. People are putting their shoulder to the wheel, and it's been a big blessing because we feed on the Word of God. You know, we don't feed on the comic books. We don't feed on TV. We don't feed on NASCAR. We feed on the Word of God. You're a believer, aren't you? And so we are very busy with missionary work in several countries, and we appreciate you all with your desire to help with the missionary work because it doesn't run by itself. When you go to mail a letter, you got to buy a stamp. There's no bargains at the post office. We, because of us, that we keep it moving, you know. And so a lot of other things in life, you got to put a little bit of effort into it. But we're glad to be here, and when I was here last, we were into the chapter 13 of Acts. I see, we could start with chapter 1, wouldn't make any difference. But in chapter 13, we had there where Paul was preaching, and he had a special message that he was preaching over there. He ended up in 13, chapter 13, verse 29, and he's saying, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. You see, everything that happened on the cross was foretold. It was in the Bible. Now, they only had this portion of the Bible. They didn't have a New Testament. They were living it. So in this Bible that they were preaching from, all that was already in there. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. All that was foretold by prophets. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
And so Paul's message was, you all memorize this. I'm here to tell you it's coming to pass. Yes. It's happening now. Yes. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. And so he was doing his best. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. That's why this is not just a religion. It's a way of life. It's the reality of God. And so the resurrection is actually the cornerstone of our entire message. Our prophet says it's the cardinal resting place of the gospel. No matter what he did, if he did not raise again from the dead, then all of it was in vain. It proves to me that he was God. Okay? And I think it's the greatest coronation of the full gospel is the resurrection and its divine promises. So to my opinion, the resurrection is the greatest of all the promises and things of the scripture.
Amen.
It's the greatest thing. You know, there are all kinds of religions. Allah will not take you to heaven. Sorry to tell you that, but it's not going to happen. Jesus Christ is the only way. And that's why we worship a living God. Okay, so we're moving on into chapter 14, and all you got to do is pay attention.
Amen.
Is that okay, Kelly? 14 and verse 1 is over here, and it says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they both went, they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. So they had been through some trials, and I know some of you don't remember, but, you know, you have a Bible, so we're not going to read every verse. You're going to read your Bible yourself. You're going to get involved. This isn't a spectator sport here. You've got to get involved yourself. And we do have something to show you here. We got a level to keep things balanced. And it's already been said once here this morning, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. That's John 4:23, the woman at the well. And so we believe in balance. Pretty good job here, guys. Yeah, pretty good. Let me go check something else. I will put it up here so you can see it. But so whenever the gospel is preached, the twin is nearby. And it says right there they had great success. Many believed. But verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews, they're always nearby. Every time there's victory, here comes the devil. It was on the tape this morning. You all heard it. Stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So they stayed a long time in these places here. And verse 3, we're not going to read every verse. You're going to read part of it. They stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So they were speaking the truth. God was anointing them. Miracles were being done. They were acting out, as it says over in John 14:12. And I know this is a controversy with some of my friends, but, you know, we'll just have to wait till we get to the finish line, till we get to the judgment, and we'll see who's telling the truth. But John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, that's anybody. Anybody that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these, really? Because I go to the Father. Y'all going to continue this for the next 2,000 years. Then we'll get a whole lot more done. You know. And also 15:7, where it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So God had spoke those, you know, back there a few days before. And here's Paul preaching it, and it's happening, you see. So they didn't have a New Testament to refer to. They only had the testimony of the apostles. Now remember, there's disciples and there's apostles. What's the difference? Disciples are followers. Jesus had 12 disciples. They became apostles when they're going out preaching, see. And so they didn't have this to quote from. They had some that had remembered it and spoke it. And they had testimonies, had eyewitnesses. But the word was being fulfilled right amongst them. It was coming to pass right there amongst them. So it was God in real time. And so they were living out the promises in that first church age. The only hands that God has are your hands. It's not just Pastor Joseph. No, God is in the people. It's your hand. You're the ones out there seeing people every day. Your eyes, your mouth, you know. So he will use you in ways you cannot even imagine after you yield yourself to him. Amen. But the confusion continued because the troublemakers were anointed from the dark side. Yeah. They were evil affected. People's minds was evil affected because these people from the dark side, they were determined to bring division. We got to divide this thing. We got to tear this thing up. So the unbelieving Jews also had help from the unbelieving Gentiles. And they abused the missionaries. Yeah. They stoned them. And they were totally in control by satanic forces. Clear back there. Today it's everywhere. Everywhere. I almost got lost downtown Nashville the other day. You know, I was looking for a restaurant. Well, it says it's right here. You turn that way. Well, I didn't know what it was. Anyway, I ended up at Chick-fil-A. But there's all kinds of demons running loose in downtown Nashville. And where I live and every place I've been, there's these satanic forces. And they're coming to the maturity now. See, they started way back there. So Paul and Barnabas, they left town. They moved on to another city called Lystra and Derbe. And they also preached the gospel there. But in this crowd that they're preaching to, and we'll get to it in a few minutes, there was a crippled man. Now, we think of a crippled man as a guy with a crutch. No, this is a crippled man. Like one brother told me once, he said, he was just like spaghetti. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like that. They have no muscle. Some of them, their mind's all messed up. But this guy apparently had his mind straight, but he couldn't move anything. He was just twisted, you know? And so he's in the crowd. He never walked. He was born with this defect and totally without muscles in his leg. But when he heard the word spoken clearly in his language, see, everybody in the world doesn't speak English. Now, this level's got a couple of different purposes. One is to remind you to stay level. But if I see anybody, and I don't care how late you stayed up last night, if I see anybody, and we'll just keep hitting it until everybody wakes up. Brother Bram said, I preach to the most tiredest people in the world. Can you imagine going to sleep in Brother Bram's message? I mean, they were doing it. Anyway, back to our point here. So he was speaking to him through an interpreter. Paul didn't know all these languages, but he was speaking, you know, the man heard it in his language, and he believed. So while Paul's preaching, he discerned that that guy back there had faith to be healed from hearing the gospel that was preached. God called preachers, not machines. So keep that straight. So what do you say in verse 10? He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet and be healed. He said, and he leaped and walked. Now, Brother Branham had very high regard for a man named George Lamza. And you got a good name, buddy. There's only a few of us left. So Dr. Lamza translated the scriptures right from the Aramaic languages, and it's very similar to King James. Now, you can do a whole study on your own on how we got a King James Bible. But anyway, Dr. Lamza, over here in verse 10, he says, just so you see the similarity, he said unto him with a loud voice, I say to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And so there's a few things, you know, it has a little more color sometimes. Spanish Bible has a little more color on some things, but we're not going to bore you with Spanish. We're going to just speak English today. But so this man that we see here in the scripture, he jumped up. Man, he's walking. Now, he's been laying there begging for money for years. Every time they came to church, there he was, you know. But now he's leaping up and walking. And so the reaction of the people over here in verse 11, what's it say here? And when the people saw what Paul had done, because all they knew was Paul did this, you know, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconia, so it's a different language, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and called Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Okay, so Jupiter is Latin for the Zeus god, the Greek god Zeus, and Mercury is Latin for Hermes in Greek. Anyway, so they were so impressed. Wow, supernatural. You know, they begin to worship these two guys because it was because of them this man's walking and leaping. And so they gave him these pagan names to God's servants. That was the only supernatural they'd ever seen. They thought it was right. And they didn't know about the Bible. Paul's there teaching them, you know, you got to start from zero. See, we can't imagine that because we all have a Bible. It's on the radio. It's on everywhere. But if you're in a place where nobody has a Bible, they don't even know who Moses or nothing. Got to start from zero. It's not easy, you see. And so that's all these people knew. And so they were worshiping them. Verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, one of their pagan priests, which was there at the city, he brought oxen and garlands to the gates. And they were going to have a big sacrifice, have a big, big blowout here because, wow, look what we got here, you know. And so they were going to have a large party, and they were very serious. So if a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit on their soul, now there's a difference. Yeah. You can have it on your flesh, and as long as the drums are beating, man, you're just Holy Ghost. But if we unplug all this, how much Holy Ghost we got left? Got a problem. So if you've got the Holy Ghost on your soul, then you're in tune with God, you see. You're in tune with God of the Bible. But if you're not, then that person will almost feel comfortable with this type of worship and adulation. You know, this is good. Oh, God. Man, Brother Joseph, you know, let's put some flowers in. That's not God. No. And so that's what they were doing here. That's called idolatry. Okay? And guess what? God hates it. Okay? But your revelation has to be in balance with God's written word. Now, don't let that scare you. This is Brother Branham's absolute. That's what we preach from. Okay? And so we're not interested in fanatical paganism in any form. If you do a brief search on the message, you'll find where Brother Branham says back to the word over 200 times. It might be important. It's not just a suggestion, you know. Back to the Bible 81 times. Back to the original 128 times. Well, then we have license to come in here and find what God wants us to know. Okay? So the ministry of Elijah was to return back, bring the children back to the faith of the fathers. In other words, current Christians back to the original. That was his message. Paul was doing similar. He was teaching them that, okay, all back here we have what God said through Moses and all the prophets. I'm telling you, people, it's coming to pass now. Amen. Get with the program. John 5:39. Let's see what we have here. John 5:39. Now, I'm not like everybody else. I'm me, so you'll just have to put up with me for a little bit. 5:39. Search the scriptures. Amen. Read your Bible. Amen. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me. Those people had a Bible. It was a translation that was only 200 years old. It was current translation. They all understood it. They quoted from it. Go search. It talks about me. And then over in chapter 8, 32 of John, where it says, in 31, he says, if you continue in my word. So you got to continue in the word. Amen. It's not just once you have watermelon and wait till next July. No, you have, you know, continue in something good. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? So if you don't continue in the word, don't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. Only the followers of the word. You got to be in it. And then you're a follower. Then you're a disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what will make you free. And if you don't follow the prescription, then you're not free. You're chained up in ignorance. So the prophet says over here in Hebrews chapter 1, the real church is a real sane gospel. Amen. You know, nobody wants to drive a car and the wheels flopping. It doesn't work too good, especially 70 miles an hour. You want something that works right. Okay? So the church is a real sane gospel, right in the middle of the road. It's not cold and starchy, neither is it fanaticism. It's a real good, warm gospel, heartfelt love of God going right down the middle of the road, calling from both sides. That's right. And how are you going to get that? Right out of the word, out of the Urim Thummim. Now, Paul wanted to get his church right in the middle of the road, so he went and studied 3 years in the scriptures that he knew. Therefore, Paul wrote the bigger part of the New Testament. God had him do that because of the coming Gentile age. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, the four gospels, they were Jews. But Paul wrote most of the letters. So, he's here preaching. This man's healed. We have the reaction of these people. Now, over here in the Bible, in Lamza Bible, it says in verse 14 and 15, and when Barnabas and Paul heard of this, in other words, they saw this thing happening, they tore their clothes. They ripped their clothes, leaped to their feet, went out into the crowd, crying out, men, why are you doing this? We also are ordinary human beings like you, who preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. So with all this that he's explaining and trying to calm down this whole thing, they almost didn't succeed because the people were ready to offer burnt offerings and worship them. No true servant of God will accept any kind of worship. Amen. Now, you know, a birthday card is one thing. Of course, if there's something in there, it's even better. But we're not talking about, but we don't worship. We don't worship people. And you won't allow worship of anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's keeping the church clean. Now, Brother Branham could have gone in privately, where only a few would have seen him, and he could have kissed the ring of the Pope of Rome. He had the opportunity. Okay? might be news to some of you. He says over here, 1954. And I had an audience with the Pope, and I could have gone up and talked to him. But when I found out that you had to crease his ring and his toe, I said, no, no, ain't going to happen. I will give any man his due regards, his reverend, doctor, whatever. Give him honor. Take off my hat as a gentleman. But when it comes to worship, there's only one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would not do that. So he didn't go see him. He canceled the appointment. This would have been Pope Pius the 12th, who served from March 39 till October of 58. Had a long reign. And that's the one he would have gone to see. So, once again, over here with our chapter 14, persecution, double-minded people, fanatics, they've always been a part of the fabric of the gospel. We've got them in this crowd here. We've got three kinds of believers.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to tell you who you are because I don't know. Because you're putting on a real happy face. Everybody's smiling, got your nice tie on, you know, combed your hair, you know. But there's three kinds of believers here. So don't worry about who, you know, the other. Who are you? Which one are you? You see? And so, if these fanatical people had not shown up, then we'd have to wonder if we're in the right way or not. Brother Brandon had to put up with that kind of stuff. Yes, he had a wonderful ministry, and people were healed. All these things happened, and it's marvelous, and it was an answer to Scripture, but he had fanatical people. He didn't throw them out. He said, if those people hadn't showed up, I would have to wonder if I was in the right place. So same thing happening here. 1950, Brother Bram says, behold the Lamb of God. Get ready. Wake up. Get your conscience back out here. In other words, be real. You know, quit daydreaming. Pay attention. Get your soul out here with God. Get away from that sense-bound existence. There's three words. Sense-bound existence. Look it up sometime. He says it many times. Lift up your heads. Redemption's drawing nigh. Get ready. Signs and wonders appearing. Critics, infidels waxing worse and worse. We've got to put up with them. But we're not looking to them. We're looking to God. So when all these fanatics and all these crazy people show up in the last 10 years, well, some people get shook and go with them. Not me. We have the truth. If you can't line up with the word, we don't have no more conversation. You see? So Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Well, we're pretty safe, aren't we? Everybody's not speaking well of me. I've got a few enemies. God put them there. Keep me awake, you know. So the twin has to appear. Okay? It has to be there. And we must have some real opposition. Now, God has a sense of humor. And when people get married and they don't really know each other real well, well, then these little things crop up. You got to have that opposition. You know, there has to be. So, thank God. But you better know that you know that you know. Okay? Your experience and your revelation must be backed up by God's word, not by popular opinions. So, chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. So what did they come to do? Persuaded the people, obviously contrary to Paul's teaching. And they stoned Paul, and they drew him out of the city. They dragged him out. Now, if they're dragging him, it's because he can't put up any resistance. They think he's dead. It says right there, supposing him to be dead. So the troublemakers followed from the previous city, this twin of the gospel, and they got people into a frenzy, into a riot. They stoned Paul, not with little rocks, but big, sharp boulders. Okay? They didn't have guns and rocks. And they dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood around about him, you think they're just sitting there wondering, oh, what, Lord, what are we going to do here? Oh, they were praying. Amen. They were serious. Here's their man. He looks like he's dead. So it says they stood around and came into the city. He rose up and he came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Okay, so a great miracle. The people were paying attention, and so they preached over at Derbe and then returned by the same route, confirming the faith of the new believers Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So Paul's program was preach the truth,
yes.
Wait for God to bring
yes.
up somebody that's got, you know, some leadership, ordain him, and move on.
Amen.
He didn't have a long circuit of churches, you know, sending in tithes. No, he was a missionary. He's moving on. And so they were definitely ordained of God. They believed what they were preaching. God took care of them. They weren't on vacation. No. They walked. They might have rode on a donkey. They didn't have fancy stuff like we do, you know. And so they arrived back home, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Remember, we studied that. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Okay. So, chapter 15, verse 1. We're going to go till lunchtime, so brace yourself. It's okay. There's free water out there. Is this okay here? Is this for me? And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. See, we had people back there. This is only a few years after the crucifixion, not 2,000. It's just a few years, maybe 50 years or less. And they were already, you know, acting like God's in a wheelchair. We've got to help them out. We've got to do this and this and this to be saved. I mean, Martin Luther, Christ alone. We don't need crutches. We don't need stuff. We need Christ alone. So unless you conform to all the Jewish traditions, there's no salvation. The 2022 translation of that would be, unless you do things exactly our way, our understanding, our revelation of God's word, you are out of the picture and you're going to the hot place. That's exactly what they're saying. And I'm sick and tired of it. But they got to be there to keep us sharp. You see? So, we've got Galatians over here. Now, see, this is the first we've heard of people coming in trying to teach something different. But when we get over into Galatians, which if the Lord tarries and, you know, I don't wear out my welcome, we'll go through the book of Galatians. And it says in Galatians 1:8, now see, Paul had been into that area of where the Galatians lived, and there was fruit. There was people baptized, there were Christians. But a few days later, a few months later, here comes these other guys from, you know, in Judea, teaching another version. Yeah, but this, and yeah, but that, and Paul, you know, he killed grandma and all these things he did. And so we can't listen to that. We've got to do it this way. And so he says, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, so if I, or if Silas, or if Barnabas, Joseph, or William Branham, or George, or whoever comes along, or if an angel, boom, all of a sudden, and preaches something, you know, any other gospel than what I've already preached to you, let him be accursed. That means throw him out. Doesn't matter if his nose hits the pavement. Out of here. We can't put up with this stuff. Got a clean house. So the same thing's going on here. Yeah, they came over, and so what it was, there was the circumcision argument. It's a covenant that God made with Abraham back in Genesis 17, part of the law of Moses. But Paul and Barnabas agreed to go up to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and settle the question. So they needed some clarification on this. So they stopped at the churches along the way. They testified and brought great joy to the believers. They met with the apostles and told them about their journey. Okay? But again, the Pharisees got involved. See, there were Sadducees and Pharisees, two different versions of the Jews. Today, they got many different denominations amongst them. They're all called Jews. But there's just as divided as Gentiles. So anyway, they wanted some clarification on this. And these Pharisees got involved, and they demanded in verse 5 of chapter 15, "But there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider the manner." So they had a church meeting. Got to have some church order here. And so then Peter spoke in verse 7 through 11. See, they're having this meeting. And Peter had already been to the house of Cornelius, you know, the Gentiles. And all this is brewing. They're trying to figure out how we can put this together. Because Jesus told them in Matthew 10, only to the house of Israel. Don't worry about those other people, those heathens out there, you know, us. Just to the house of Israel. But when the house of Israel started not to pay attention and started to make fun of them, Paul said, forget you people, I'm going over to Gentiles. And God was doing this. Okay, so we're in chapter 15, verse 7. Let's see here. "And after much controversy, Simon Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know from the early days God chose that from my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God knows what is in the heart, has testified concerning them, and has given them the Holy Spirit just as he did us," you know, chapter 10. "And he did not discriminate between us and them, because he purified their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you tempt God by putting a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." So in verse 12, you know, they have this private meeting. And verse 12, "And all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." See, these guys had stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TV. They didn't know what was going on out there until somebody came and told them. So Peter had gone to the coast, and now Paul and Barnabas had gone to the other parts, which is now Turkey. And now they're hearing, wow, it's amongst the Gentiles, you know. And so here's the private meeting with these two missionaries, and he told them the whole thing. So the situation we see here is about 48 A.D., 48, you know, just a few years after the resurrection. "And upon hearing the news about the Gentile believers, the Jewish believers were getting a little bit crusty and arrogant by now. And they were saying, well, now to actually come into this and be saved, those Gentiles have to first become Jews in every sense of the word. They must reject their ethnic beliefs and background and accept all the Hebrew religion and culture. It's insane. So we have several angles of the debate. We have Peter with his testimony, what happened at the house of Cornelius. And then the miracles that by the grace of God with the Gentiles, with Paul and Barnabas. Very successful encounters with the Gentiles. And God showing mercy and dealing equally with these other kinds of people. Because it was illegal for the Jews to even step in the house with the Gentiles, much less eat with them. But then thirdly, we have James, timely reminder, how these current events correlated with the words of the prophets, quoting from Amos chapter 9. So look in the verse 15 of chapter 15. Don't get bored. It's going to get better in a little bit here. "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written." So now he's quoting. They knew their Bible. He says, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called." So it's already been prophesied. There'll be Gentiles, see? "Who doeth all these things. Known unto God are the works from the beginning of the world." God knows the whole picture. Yes. He knows what you're thinking and why you're not paying attention and where you're going to be tomorrow.
Right.
You got to trust him. Amen. He's got the whole picture. Yes. So he concludes over in verse 19. He says, "Wherefore my sentence, you know, my opinion in this whole matter is that we trouble these people not, which from among these Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions, from idols, from fornication, things that are strangled, from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Very key scripture. Spoken in 48 AD, and yesterday being the Sabbath, while we were gathered for a wedding, the Jews were in church. Because they meet every Saturday, and it says right there, they quote from their prophet, Moses. So they know about prophet Moses, but they have trouble coming to current times. And that's one of the ministries of Elijah and Moses when they come back to the Jews and reveal the truth. It's not going to be the Southern fried gospel that we know exactly. But it's going to be the truth, you know. And so they were pleased with what the letter that was written. It was a document. And most of what we have, you know, from Paul are letters written to certain congregations. Today we have tape recordings, you know. So the brethren took the letter, the epistle, read it to the saints in Antioch. The people rejoiced. So look, the word and the spirit and the will of God will always agree. If somebody comes along with something different, I don't know, you can smell it coming up the steps. I mean, something's not right. But they have to agree. The word, the spirit, and the will, they always agree. They always work in harmony. And they run parallel and produce peace and not confusion. Now, you all have some great musicians here. Thank God you got some good musicians. But now, if the piano player, if she gets up one day, well, I'm just going to play an A-flat today. I don't care what the rest of them do. You'd have confusion. It wouldn't work. Or if they want to, you know, a different time. Or if the drummer goes crazy and starts beating, you know. Oh, it's got to work together. It's got to work in harmony, you know. So we can have a leading, we can have a doctrine, even a promise right off the pages of the Bible. But if it's not in the proper season, flowing in the economy and plan of God for the hour, you'll be fighting the will of God. You'll be fleeing from the presence of God and thinking you're right. Because you can open your Bible and there's promise right there how to build an ark and how to do it. We're not building arks today. We're not going to march across the desert. We're on the road looking for the exit of Laodicea, you know. So if we turn our back on the word, and we've seen them right here in Tennessee, no need to play games. Maybe you don't turn your back openly, but just by indifference, maybe by a bad attitude. Because, look, everybody didn't have the same cup of coffee you had this morning. Some people came to church with no coffee. Some people are starving right now, and it's too bad. You should have got up earlier. We're not serving nothing here. But if you come out and just by indifference, you know, an ugly attitude, you'll be fleeing from the presence of God, following an antichrist spirit and an antichrist doctrine. And soon you'll be anointed with arrogance. Nowhere in the Bible is arrogance uplifted. It's always put down. You'll be anointed with arrogance, selfishness, self-righteous, respect of persons. None of that comes from God. See, it's not fruit of the Spirit. So if we deviate just one degree, see, this thing's got, it's got one part here that's right balanced. Now, this part looked like enough, not in balance. Well, it's by degrees. See, this smart people like Mark would know how to operate this. So if you're off just one degree off center, you're not going to hit the target. Now, I'm not a hunter. But I raised two hunters, three actually. I got a grandson. And so they are so precise. Yeah, wow. These are grandsons of William Branham, remember. So they can shoot a squirrel way out there, just with the 4-power scope. You know, right dead on. But if it's just a half a degree off, they're going to hit the tree and not going to hit the squirrel, you know. So you can take a promise right out of the text of the Bible, you know, and you can believe it seriously. Yeah. And ready to give your life for it. But if it's not in God's timing and in perfect sequence with God's program, you'll be out of the will of God. You'll be fleeing from the presence of the living God, thinking you're right. Thank God for sending us a prophet, the fulfillment of Scripture. And see, that's my answer to my friends. I still got to call them friends over here, but that have turned their back on the message. If this whole program that we have that we call the message, if this isn't the fulfillment of Malachi 4, as you think, well, then go find him. Don't waste your time throwing rocks at us. Because Jesus said in Matthew 17, he's going to come and he's going to restore. Okay, so if that's not William Branham, then go find him and let me know. Simple. Okay, we're still in chapter 15. Don't get lost. Verse 36, sometime later here, in verse 36, and some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John, whose name surname was Mark, so John Mark. But Paul thought it was not a good idea to take him with them, because they departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So they'd been together, but John Mark took off, so Paul said, no, let's not take him. And the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder. They went different ways. Yeah. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So, if we look close at this disagreement, John Mark is a case in second chances. He was apparently spurned by Paul because he had gone home to Jerusalem instead of continuing with them, back in chapter 13. And John Mark was fortunate that his cousin was Barnabas, who was his mentoring model. He's also known in our study as the son of encouragement. And just as Barnabas had done with Paul back in chapter 9, when he brought him to the brethren, trying to encourage him, no one else would have anything to do with Paul at that time. But Barnabas brought him in. So now Barnabas took John Mark, and they went home to Cyprus and encouraged him in the Lord. So thanks to Barnabas, John Mark turned out to be a special gift of the church. He became a valued associate of Peter. Later in life, Paul recognized the value of John Mark, and he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:11, and take Mark, bring him here. He's profitable for me in the ministry. So you see, men filled with the Holy Ghost sometimes have disagreements. You probably could write a list of people like that. We are individuals. We have opinions. And sometimes we find it hard to bend, especially when we get over 75. But we try to stay flexible, you know. And yes, well, that's what you want to do, then you go that way, and I'll meet you at the finish line. You know, real simple. Brother Bram says, if you can't disagree with a man and then shake his hand and still have the same feelings towards him, then there's something wrong with you. If I can't disagree with a man bitterly from side to side, now I wonder what that means. That's Kentucky talk. Disagree bitterly from side to side. Well, that means that there's just nothing to talk about. We can't even have a cup of coffee because it's so bitterly. So if you can't do that and still think as much of him as Christ would, then there's something wrong in my heart. I haven't the Spirit of Christ. So we got to have enough Holy Ghost to put up with people that don't agree with us. It doesn't mean I got to sit and listen to them. I mean, I love Joseph, but if I bought the house next door, we'd find something to argue about. Because I can't keep my car as clean as his, for one thing. Love you, man. So this is the stature that we're growing into, to be able to disagree from bitterly, you know, and still think as much of my brother as Christ does. May God help us. That's your homework for this week. Find a way. It's easy to love those that love you. I mean, here comes the relatives from Canada. Oh, yeah. But now, if they stayed here very long, you got to love people regardless, okay? So, verse 27, we meet two more brethren in the early church, Judas and Silas. They accompanied Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch with the letter. And verse 32 says that they were also prophets. And they ministered the word to the saints. And Judas returned to Jerusalem, but Silas stayed on and traveled with Paul. He became Paul's traveling companion on this second missionary trip. And he became Paul's literary assistant. He wrote what Paul was saying. Paul didn't take time to write all these things. No, he's speaking. And since I saw you last, there's a film that came out, Paul, Apostle of Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of you ever saw it. I went to the theater more than once to see it. It's an exact copy of Scripture. And you can buy it online, Paul, Apostle of Jesus Christ. So here's Paul and here's Luke. You know, he's with them. And so they're just like us. They're just walking along. And Paul's saying things. And so then Luke, he's kind of trying to put, oh, yeah. And so he starts putting it together in his mind. And Paul says, write it down, you know, because he needed help, you know. Okay, so let's get into chapter 16 and see if we can make it through here. So Paul is traveling. He picked up Timothy for a helper, a good choice that proved out later to be very useful in the ministry. And 1st and 2nd Timothy are letters he wrote to his associate. So chapter 16, verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decree to keep, which, you know, from this church order back here, another chapter, was ordained by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. Okay, so they went from town to town delivering the letter from Jerusalem and making it real to the new converts. It's one thing to read the Bible, but then when God reveals it to you, oh, that's me. Yeah, this is real. See? So they were making it real to people. They provided understanding and encouragement by the ministry of the word. They weren't just out there repeating. So when you read the book of Acts and on farther, I don't find where anybody was out there, yeah, and Jesus said, and here's all. No. It was written down. We have the Gospels. They were in the process of being written. But they weren't out there repeating word for word what Jesus said. They were living it out. It was functioning, you know. And so they were just doing the work of the Lord. In verse 5, the work was growing. It wasn't by Paul's wisdom, but by the Holy Ghost leadership. So the original message was quite simple. And Brother Bram says here, and sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, these Greeks were not looking for a lecturer in Jesus Christ. They were not looking for pulpit clowns. Why would he say something like that? Because they were there and they're still here. We have pulpit clowns that their ministry seems to be keep people's attention. What about just speaking the word? Just listen closely. You know, we're not running a puppet show here. So they were not looking for pulpit clowns. They were not looking for that. They were not looking for entertainers. They wanted to see him, the person, Jesus Christ. They longed to see him. They had heard of him. They had seen him reflected in some other people. Oh, I'd like to get closer to that. You know, like when you sisters go through town, why do you have long hair? Well, because that's what the pastor preaches. That's not good enough, honey. It says so in the Word of God. The same Bible you got at your church says that. You know, that's why I sometimes don't even have to carry a Bible. If people want to know, well, here, give me your Bible. I'll show you where it says. Yeah, I was in a, you know, when we go to Israel, I've been over there many times. We never go as missionaries. No, we go as tourists. We go to see the places where Jesus walked and so forth. Well, so one time I had 3 or 4 days between two trips. Another group was coming. So my guide over there, he's passed on now, but he was a retired military man. He had friends that were military, that were retired. So he took me with him one night to visit some retired people. So here we are, three retired Jewish couples and me. And the home we're in, the guy's got a fantastic library. Oh, he's, you know, genius. And so one of the ladies says, well, now, Reuben here tells us that your father-in-law was a prophet. Can you explain that? Oh, okay. On the hot seat. I said, well, now, surely in all these books you got a Hebrew New Testament. Oh, yeah, right here. It says right there, you know, that Jesus said, and Elijah shall surely first come. I said, if you look in your Bible, you'll find five comings of Elijah. There's four to you all and one to us. One's still coming to you. Oh, yeah, we know all about Elijah. When's he coming since you know all this? I don't know. It's real soon. So the thing is, they had heard about this, but there's a proper way to tell them. You're not going to convince them of anything that's not Bible, you know. So anyway, that's what Brother Ram says about these Greeks that came to see him. So here we are in chapter 16, verse 6, says here, "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word of Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they say," that means they checked out to go to Bithynia, "but the Spirit suffered them not." No, can't go there. And so the Holy Ghost had shut a door, you see. They had some good ideas, they had some plans, but God knows best, you see. They were seeking the will of God. And they were very careful. They didn't want to make any mistakes. They didn't want to waste money. So it's true. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Well, now, America is burned over. I mean, as many churches as there are in Murfreesboro, there shouldn't be any sin here at all. But we're the minority. The believers are the minority, you see. And so the whole world needs to hear the gospel. But God has an order and a time for things to happen. That's why I haven't been here in 4 years. There's a time to be here. Amen. Had to get this church finished. It's beautiful. Congratulations. Yeah, real nice. And so the scripture says that be still and know that I'm God. God's got it all figured out. He doesn't need your little chicken brain idea. No. Just I got to figure it out. Just be followers. So do not feel God. Do not feel bad. When God doesn't permit you to go through with the things that you think you should be doing. Or when you think, oh man, all those wasted years. No, he brings the gospel to you at a certain time. You have to have a hunger for it. If we had prime rib down there and all you want is fried chicken, well then you're not going to be very hungry, are you? No, it's got to be the right thing at the right time. Okay, and so God does know what he's doing. You just got to believe he knows what he's doing, you see. So many times, like today, we desperately want to know the will of God. Well, God, what do you want me to do? Where am I? What's my position here? Okay, we've got some problems here. Okay. You know who you are. Okay, they asked Brother Branham one time, how do you feel is the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? Well, of course, all of our matters are important, right? Is anything in your life not important? Everything's important. So how do I know the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? He says, I'll tell you, dear friend, the best way to find the will of God in some important matters is prayer. But see, right there, we've got a lot of people like Naaman. Oh, I already knew that. Well, then why are you even asking the question if you already knew that? Now, here's the way I do it. I take it before the Lord. It's always been my strength. I wait upon the Lord. Okay, so prayer, wait. Okay. I wait upon the Lord and see what he says. And I let myself just be neutral. Now that is difficult. Because I want the red car. Lord, I need money for that red car. But God's got a white truck over here for you instead. And you got to be happy with it. But you got to be neutral. Don't take either side. So if I was in your place and didn't have these visions and so forth, I would just wait upon the Lord. Now, Lord, you show me what's the decision to make. And then the way you feel led to do it, then wait a little bit. And, well, it's all this waiting. Yeah. Prayer and wait. And see which side he leans towards. Then say, now, Father, in my heart, you know it doesn't matter. But I want to know what you want to do about it. So just patiently follow the Spirit of God, and things will turn out right. You see how it turned out for Naomi? She waited. She waited. Now, I know who her dad is, so I know she's not real patient. But she waited. She prayed. And then it came to pass. And it went by like a fast truck, didn't it? Here, well, all this planning, boom, it's over. They're gone. Okay. So verse 9 of chapter 16 says here, they're trying to go here and trying to go there. The Spirit wouldn't let them. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia. Now, how do you think he knew it was Macedonia? Probably didn't have a nameplate. But they had different way of dressing in different countries there. And he prayed to him, saying, come over to Macedonia, help us. This is a vision. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So they had a green light by way of vision, and the Lord provided for them to get over there. And they sailed from Troas over to Philippi, which is a Roman settlement. And in verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside. What for? Where prayer was normally made, and we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. So here they got this vision to go over there. So they got in the boat, they went over there, and they heard that there was some Jewish women down there praying by the river. So now they go down by the river, and here's this gathering of women praying. Amazing. So a synagogue, see, there was only one temple. It was destroyed. So there's no Jewish temple. There's only synagogues. Right here in Nashville, you got them. They're every place around the world. And they meet on the Sabbath. And to form a synagogue, you had to have 10 believing men that forms a synagogue. So here they had this synagogue. At this point, it was some believing women. And these missionaries, they're branching out now. They're not in their... Not in their comfort zone. They're not in a nice church with air conditioning and lights. No, they're down by the river. Yeah. And on the Sabbath. And so down by the river is normally a place of work. You know, the women got together. They washed the clothes, put them on the bushes to dry, and they shared all the news. And so today they met for prayer. And God was answering prayer. He's bringing the good news to them, you see. The simple meeting at the riverside was the first step in the gospel spreading to the west, towards Murfreesboro. It's on the way. Verse 14 says here, and a certain woman, you know, amongst the crowd there, named Lydia, a seller of purple. See how our Bible is full of details? All these little, I mean, any place you want to open the Bible, you can make a nice movie, just what's right there on two pages. So here she is. Her name is Lydia. She sells purple. She was from Thyatira. She worshiped God. And she heard us. Her heart, the Lord opened up. And she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. Verse 15. And when she was baptized, so she didn't only, you know, take it in. She believed. So Paul baptized her and her household. And she said to us, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide. And she constrained us. She, you know, put the pressure on us. So Lydia is the very first convert in the West to accept the message, hosted the church, first church in Europe in her home. That's where it all started. Amen. Started there, okay? And she lived in Philippi, which is modern Greece, but she had moved there from Thyatira. So she was a merchant. She had a business. She sold fabric, cloth. Especially cloth dyed in purple. So, what's the big deal? Purple came from a little fish called murex, a shellfish found only along the northeastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And it was the most expensive of the dyes, a mark of wealth or royalty. Purple cloth was ranked in value with gold, and it was used for emperors and temples. So Lydia's conversion didn't change her occupation, but dramatically changed her loyalty. She was a real Christian. She loved the Lord Jesus. They begged Paul to stay there with them in the house for a few days. And there's always, you know, when there's the positive, there's the negative. So the twins are at every move of God. Verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. So they're there several days. They're going down maybe back to the river. They're going to prayer every day. A certain damsel, a certain girl, possessed with a spirit of divination. In other words, she's a witch, you know. She's from the dark side. And so this girl, she was brought her master's much gain. So she had this gift, and she was funded by these people, and she was bringing them much money by this. Anyway, so she followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show us the way of salvation. Now, see, most Pentecostal preachers today, wow, we got free advertisement. Yeah, let's give her a little bit of money, too. And she's paving the way for us. And this she did for many days, but Paul, being grieved, He turned and said to this, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. So he had had enough of this stuff. He didn't need free advertisement. He was getting on his nerves. And he commanded the demon. It went out. See, Hebrews 13:8 was already in, it was in effect. They hadn't written it yet. But it was working. Yeah. So in verse 19, they had some problems. Let's say here, 16 and 19. And when her masters, in other words, the syndicate that owned her, saw that the hope of their gains was gone, no more money, they caught Paul and Silas, brought them into the marketplace, and they brought the magistrates. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Well, when the revenue ceased, they were mad at God's servants, and they took them before the authorities. And just like today, the system was rotten. Yeah. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So things were not going well. And the people in authority, they were all friends. They stripped them down. They beat up God's servants and they put them in jail. Yeah, look at verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, okay, 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, which that hurt pretty bad, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, way in there, and put their feet, in stocks. In other words, the boards come down, you can't move. Okay, so all of a sudden, here they are in jail, and while they're in jail, they're singing and praying. They weren't trying to dial 911. Hey, mom, help. No. They created their own atmosphere. You can do it. When you get in trouble this week and things don't seem right, when you're flying back to Toronto or wherever you are and starts pressing in, just start humming a hymn. Just create your own personal atmosphere. It'll change things. See? No matter where you are. So here they are. They're in jail. For his name's sake, they've got stripes on their back, they've been stripped down, and they can't move. And all of a sudden, God sends an earthquake. Shook the very foundations of the jail. The doors are flying open. Their hands and feet are free. It's more than an earthquake. So the jailer, he's, oh yeah, what's going on? He's jolted awake. And he immediately saw that the prison doors were open. And what do you think was his first thought? Go catch the prisoners? Call the National Guard? No, just fall on the sword. The prisoners are all gone. I'm responsible. I'm a total failure. He's going to fall on his sword. Verse 28. Let's see here. It says here, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light. So all this is happening in the dark, okay? They don't have no lights. So they get the little candle out, and they came in, and trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Wow. And he says, now you guys are really different, And whatever it is you have, I want that same thing. He didn't run away. Here you are. You got these other guys here. And they're all there. And he says, they brought them out. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be like you? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen. Amen. So, 31, they had a gospel meeting. They had baptism in the wee hours of the morning. Yeah, had a good time. They fed them and everything. Verse 35, and when it was day, okay, the sun's up now, the magistrates, of course, they don't know nothing about the earthquake. They just sent down the order, okay, kept them in jail overnight, and let them go. Aha, it's not quite that simple. 36, and the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have let you all go, therefore depart, go in peace. But Paul said, oh, wait just a minute, they beat us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they want to send us away privately? No. They must come down here and get us out themselves. Yeah. And so they... eventually came down. Here's the prison in ruins. They're all enjoying fellowship in the warden's house, enjoying the blessings of God. But they just sat in prison. They just waited there for the officials to come down, verse 39. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart. Please leave our city. So they left, went to Lydia's house, had some fellowship before they left town. So we're going to go into one more chapter, and then... Is anybody going to sleep? If you see anybody, push them. Okay, chapter 17 continues with Paul here. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So they went where the religious people were, where they would listen to them. And Paul, as was his manner, went unto them three Sabbaths in a row. So 3 weeks in a row, he went down to talk about the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, that this had to happen, and rise again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not only a few. Okay, so Paul and his party, they moved on to another city. It was the capital of Macedonia. Okay, Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. This was an important city named in honor of a woman, the sister of Alexander the Great. And these were the children of Philip II of Macedonia. And there was a synagogue there. And so they showed up three Saturdays in a row, reasoning with them of the scriptures, demonstrating the simplicity of the gospel, showing openly, one, according to the scriptures, the Messiah had to suffer and rise again. And number two, Jesus of Nazareth is that very Messiah. His possible title could have been, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled. You see. So he knew what he was talking about because he received it by revelation, and his revelation matched the word. Okay. He was very well versed in scripture. And so many of them believed, and it says even the well-known women. So God was on the scene revealing himself to the people through the ministry of the preaching of the gospel, just like today. But again, the twins showed up. Verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd. You know what that means? That means rednecks. These are bad boys. Took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company, set all the city, got a whole thing going in an uproar, got a riot going, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So these guys, they're not believers. They got everything all stirred up, got all the homeless and all the guys and nothing else to do, and they go down to Jason's house where Paul and them were staying, and they want them. And when Jason had, it says here that he received them, and that the contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is no other king but one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So there's just nothing but controversy going on. And when they had taken a security of Jason, that means Jason gave him some money. Yeah, there was, didn't start here in Mexico, it started clear back there. Yeah, they let him go. Okay, well, the same thing that happened to Paul and Barnabas in Antioch back in chapter 13. Jealousy anointed the unbelievers. And they gathered the street people, formed a mob, causing civil disturbances, came to Jason's house, demanding, we want to see those preachers. And they, when they realized they weren't there, they grabbed Jason and some believers. These guys are turning the city upside down. And but they weren't turning the city upside down. They were simply carrying out the orders of Acts 1:8. Be my witnesses here, there, all the way. You know, that's all they were doing. And so these people were very upset. And so the missionaries moved on about 45 miles west to Berea, and they were well received. Verse 11, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's the key. Search the scriptures. Don't go to the internet. You'll lose. It'll drag you down. You're going to hell. Leave it alone. Those guys have their opinions. We're based in the word. Okay? Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Okay? So the troublemakers and the agnostics had some free time, and they followed them. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. So verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. So he was taken away for his safety. He was taken to Athens, about 200 miles south. And Timothy and Silas stayed in Berea ministering. But when Paul reached Athens, he told his friends, now go back and send Timothy and Silas and bring with all speed. You know, I want them down here. Verse 16. And now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city entirely given to idolatry. What would he say about Murfreesboro? What would he say about Jeffersonville and a few other places? Totally given to idolatry. Therefore, he disputed in the synagogue. That doesn't mean argue. That means just trying to reason. Hey, it says over here, what are you guys doing? So he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily and met the people would meet with him. So he wasn't actually arguing, just asking questions. He was reasoning while he's waiting on his associates. Now, Paul was very good at speaking in public. He was also very flexible. He didn't have to be, you know, baptized believers. He'd speak to anybody. Wasn't always in a church setting. In Athens, he addressed the Jews who were religious in the synagogue, and then the regular Greek citizens in the supreme tribunal, and in the marketplace. But what really had him upset was the idolatry. He hadn't seen this kind of idolatry anywhere else in his travels. It's something that has plagued humanity since the Garden of Eden and only gotten worse. And we're in Satan's Eden, if you haven't noticed that. That's where we are. So if you read at home 1 Samuel 15, that's where Prophet Samuel, way back there, had to deliver the bad news to King Saul. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know any rebellious kids? Well, that's just like witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So it's all in one little package. Rebellion, witchcraft, stubbornness, iniquity, idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So all of that doesn't come from God. Idolatry, stubbornness, that doesn't come from God. Okay? You might think that's only with the heathens and some people that worship Catholic idols. No, sir. No. Brother Bram says, our nation, our U.S. of A., this is way back in 1959, is greatly covered with idolatry. We might not worship wooden animals and so forth, as you would like to think of idolatry, but that's not all idolatry consists of. We sometimes make our automobiles. Oh. Yeah. At 50,000 plus. Our clothes. Things we do, put them up as idols. Anything between you and God is an idol. Sometimes we make our church an idol. People do it. We should never do that. God is the only one we should worship.
Amen.
So, he's talking about this picture right back here, the picture of the pillar of fire. He says here, and let me see what, it's in 1954. He says, I see you have one of the pictures. You can find this on your phone. It's all there. Well, that's very fine. I just wanted to speak to you for just a moment. So this woman's coming in the prayer line, and she's carrying one of these pictures she bought out there, and she's, you know, the next patient. He says, let's speak for a moment. I suppose we're strangers to each other, so I don't know you. But our Lord knows you, and he knows me. And let's talk about that picture for just a moment, okay? And he says, the pillar of fire that you see there on that picture, some time ago there was a miracle performed. A lady put it in a picture frame, and she had it sitting on the table beside her bed in the hospital, okay? And she was looking not at me, of course, but at the pillar of fire. And this is her testimony. The doctors had given her up to die. And she claimed that the pillar of fire came off of the picture, hung over her. 2 days later, she went home well. because her vision was correct. She had it balanced. If she was looking at him, it would have been idolatry. She was looking at the pillar of fire. And so Brother Branham says, right in the middle of the road, there's a true, sound, unadulterated gospel and power of God. So we got to stay balanced. We got to find balance and stay there. Okay? So where are we at? Chapter 17, verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Okay, so here's Paul in Athens. And some said, what will this babbler say? He comes as a setter forth of strange gods. He's got something new for us. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? Well, what's this all about? For you bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. It says here, for all the people of Athens, all the people of Murfreesboro, and the strangers which were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear something new. So they're just a bunch of gossipers. It's all they knew to do. And here's somebody with a new idea. Hey, let's see what he's got, you know? And so some believed, some didn't, you see. And so when we look at the big picture, we got Paul. He's in this place where it's all idolatry, gossipers, sin everywhere you can imagine. And they're asking him, well, what is it you believe anyway? So our brother Paul was reasoning with them from the scriptures, not because from the scriptures, that Jesus of Nazareth was the very Messiah. Possible title, this day, this scripture over here is being fulfilled right amongst you. You see? So be sure and read 1 Samuel 15. It's very important. But the fact is that he was in a situation where that they didn't know what the truth was, you know? And he had to bring the truth. He had to, here's the truth, you know? And so if he's there and he says, now, you know, I saw all your idols that you have, and that one down at the end, to the unknown God. So they put that one up just in case we miss something here. Well, this covers it all down here, this unknown God. I come to tell you, I know that one. I can tell you all about that unknown God. I'm his official representative to you Gentiles. And launched out with the gospel. So that's where we're at with the study of the book of Acts. And the fact is that Galatians 1, 6 through 8 is our filter today. Whatever you hear, whatever comes by, if it doesn't fit Paul's teachings, throw it out. Because Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, the whole thing comes down to the fact that he said, well, will Paul be judged also? Oh, yeah. Well, then if his people get in, my people get in. That's us. Because I preach what he preached. And we said, well, that's what we're depending on, that you preach the gospel. So that's our lesson for today. May God bless you. And pray that we can meet again soon. Please.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Good challenge. Keep the balance. Stay in the Word. We heard some wonderful things here today. Almost Brother Ben was continuing to preach. Amen. He just preached on several of those things Wednesday night. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is just so perfect, isn't it? Well, I know Brother George didn't have time to go on the website because I got him busy since he's been here. But it was so wonderful today. We appreciate the word of the Lord. The book of Acts has been written again by the believers in this age. God is doing great things in this hour. We just thank God for that. One of the brethren will come now and just, I want you to just give to the Lord, as unto the Lord for the work in Venezuela. We have a good many Venezuelans here in our church, and this is to help with Brother George with some of the needs there. The country has gotten so corrupt, but there are still needs and there are still believers there. in that part of the world. So we are going to try to give him an offering to help the saints of the Lord there. Let's sing a song. Amen. We change the order of the service now a little bit. Worship.
Prisoners chained with bleeding stripes, both Paul and Silas
prayed
that night, and in their pain
their chains
were loosed, and they were free.
Sing with me, I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
I give you honor.
I give you.
In any other way, then you're a thief or robber. You have to come through Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning. Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord, you being in our presence. I know some of you partied late last night, and Brother George woke some of you up. And I got to confess, I was fighting hard myself, so don't feel too bad. All is well. We thank God for the word. We still heard it in our spirit. You know, before the presence of the Lord showed up yesterday, I think that was the second hardest thing I've ever done in my life. You know, and it was just to give away my baby, but I felt some of your prayers, you know. I thank God for that. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for your love. We certainly appreciate you. Service will resume here on Wednesday evening. I'll be here at the tabernacle, but I do want to say this. I will be taking some time off to rest for a few weeks. I don't know. I'm just looking at my schedule right now, just waiting to see some things transpire. But in my absence, I want this church to know, in my absence, Brother Jonathan Jones is here and is in charge of this church. While I'm away, he's here to take care and to step into my place. If there are things that you need, you cannot get me, please contact him. Sister Deanna's not here. Please see Sister Carol. She'll be right there for you. They work very nicely with us in the ministry. He is my right hand. God has sent him here to work with me very closely in the ministry. And I don't want any qualms about that.
I don't know what the Lord has in store, when and such like, but we just trust in the Lord. We will be resting for a little bit, take care of some things. So just please cooperate with him. We will be streaming in the services as the Lord just opens the way for us. But we'll be here Wednesday night worshiping the Lord. Perhaps this weekend we'll see as the Lord allow things to fall in this place. Thank you so much for your attentiveness to the word of the Lord. And appreciate Brother George Smith so much. Again, bringing the word of the Lord to us. Thank you for your giving to the mission. May God bless you and replenish you as the money goes there to help the saints of the Lord. We never dictate how it should be spent, who it should be given to. We trust who God has placed to work with that. And so we thank the Lord. We believe in accountability, but we're not looking for a sheet. You know, we bought toilet paper or we bought, you know, tissues there, whatever. The Lord knows all about that. God bless you. Let's be praying for the service on Wednesday evening. Brother George will be missed. Two George back to back. When two Georges meet, something good's got to happen. Amen. So we looked at, thank you for that very sweet and thoughtful prayer. And when you opened the service, it touched my heart. God bless you. So let's come back with our cups upright. So remember Brother Ben, he's out in the field ministering as well. Many of the saints, Brother Jonathan, will be following up with a good report next Sunday as well. And things that has happened out in his last meeting. Great, great testimony. You'll be blessed by it. Let's bow our heads before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for this time that we've had around the word of the Lord. All of our friends, our guests in our gates. Thank you for Brother George Smith. I pray, God, that you'll continue to bless him, strengthen his body, and his mission, work, and endeavors, Lord, to take the word out. And God, I pray you'll continue to bless him, supply all of the needs. Be with him wherever you may take him from here. Give him successful meetings. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to bless the body of Christ. We look to you now to speak to us as the days go ahead into the midweek service. Should you tarry, we look to come back and rally around the word of God. We love you, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Are there any announcements? Is there anything? Oh, by the way, oh, I'm so sorry. Brother Moses Makata, let's remember his family. I sent you the text last Sunday on the way home. His mother passed away. I met with him, and I hope you don't mind. I gave him a little offering here from the church. He wanted to go and see his mom and did not have the means and such like to go and to bury his mom. So I took some money from the church and helped him. So I trust you're good with that. God bless you. We love him. We appreciate him. We'll be praying for him. As you go, love one another. Say good things about each other until we meet again. Our friends from Macon, we love you. Appreciate you.